It's a wonderful day to be in the house of the Lord, just worshiping Him and being in God's will. Amen. You know, I don't know where in the world I could possibly be this morning that would be any more important to me and more satisfying than to be in God's will and be right where He wants me at this time in my life. And that's right here at New Life Ministries, right in the middle of the church and right in the middle of watching children getting saved and watching children getting baptized and serving God. And I'm thrilled. My cup is filled up this morning. Amen. Good to have you here today. Let's talk about something that's very important to talk about this morning. Let's talk about Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Let's sing about Jesus and let's talk about Him and what it does to fulfill our soul. You know, we think a lot about God and who God is. And so we want to discuss God this morning, and we're talking about the Father. And of course, when we use the names Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, those are all three synonymous names, and they all identify the same person. But let's look at who we identify as God. This, I was prompted by this, this weekend thought for Brother Raspberry this weekend, about God and being able to acknowledge Him and knowing Him. And the Bible says over in Romans chapter 1 that even the things of the world point to God. The invisible things of Him. We can see God in nature. We can see Him in the heavens. We can see Him in the acts of people and in just all kinds of ways. But just who is God? And what does He say about Himself? Let's turn over to Exodus chapter number 3 this morning. Go to Exodus number 3. Of course, this is the time now. We've got to set this up. This is a time when the Hebrew children were in bondage in Egypt. They were being abused and used, and they had been slaves for some 400 years. Things were not good for them. They were being mistreated and times were bad. Now, God had made a promise, to some of the patriarchs that He was going to create a nation and give it to the Hebrew children. He was going to lead them out of bondage and bring them into the land of Canaan, and that was going to be their promised land. That's synonymous with the promises that He's made us now. We live in bondage and we live in sin. And God has made us some promises to deliver us also. So here we are. We find ourselves in Exodus chapter 3, in Moses' time. God has just talked to Moses and told him what He wants him to do. He wants him to go back to Egypt now, and lead the Hebrew people out of bondage and break their bondage. And of course, old Moses did like a lot of us do. He put up all kind of excuses why he couldn't do that, why it wouldn't work, why he had so many shortcomings. That choose somebody else, God. You know, I don't think I can do this. And of course, God displays in His power now as He takes over the situation and empowers Moses to do the work that He's called him to do. And Moses and God has been in a conversation here. And we pick up the story here in Exodus chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 13 and 14. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is His name? And then Moses asked the question, What shall I say unto them? In other words, Moses is saying to God here, Now when I go back to Egypt and say, the God of your fathers has sent me, who should I say has sent me? In other words, he is not sure who God is here at this point. He knows of the power of God, and he knows the historical God, but he's asking a direct question here. Who shall I say unto them? have sent me. And God said unto Moses, now look at this phrase in your Bible. I am that I am. Okay, you got that? All capital letters. The reason it is in capital letters is because the emphasis is on I am. I am God. That is a title. I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent you. What would you say to somebody if you was talking to them in a conversation this day and time and you ask them, well, who are you? What's your name? And they just declared, I am. I am. You know what God's saying here? He's saying, I am. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I am the power. I am the glory. I am the everything. Omnipresent, omnipowerful, all-knowing. I am who I am. Now, Moses is having a conversation with the God of the universe, the Creator God. God who had stepped out on nothing and told nothing to go someplace and become something, was having a conversation with Moses. And he was telling Moses, I am. In other words, we could say that what he was doing, he was declaring himself to humanity of who he was. I am that I am. And so God has declared himself here today in the scriptures as the all-powerful God, the God that is sending Moses back to Egypt to lead his children out of bondage. And that's the same way that we are in the same condition we are in today. We've been in the bondage of sin, and we have been in the bondage of all kinds of addictions, suffering, traumas, all sorts of things. But my friends, we have a deliverer today, and he is the great I Am. He is there, and he's ready, and he's willing to deliver us and to bring us out of bondage and bring us into freedom and liberty through Christ Jesus. God made a way, and the Bible tells us that in the right time, when the time was right, God presented his Son as a sacrifice for our sin. And Jesus came upon the world, in the world, 2,000 years ago, fulfilled his destiny as a sacrifice for sin. His blood was shed at Calvary, and therefore we can be bought back or purchased back to God or to the great I Am and to the power of his mighty word. Amen. Let's look at some of the attributes or the things that God has done. The great I Am, God has declared in Colossians, let's turn to Colossians quickly, he has declared his completeness. Nothing else is needed. God is complete. Now, the wonderful thing about this is when he presented his Son, Christ Jesus, to the world, Christ Jesus was complete. When we accept Christ Jesus as our personal Savior, and he is in us, and we in him are that meshing together of man and God, and we are in God completely, and he is in us completely. Did you know something? You are absolutely complete at that time. Before you become a Christian or before you accept Christ Jesus as your personal Savior, you are very incomplete. You are very troubled, traumatized. You are lost. But when you become a child of God, and he is in you, and you in him, you are complete in Christ Jesus also. Let's see what Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10 says here. Paul is talking to the people here at the city of Colossae. A lot of heresies going on in the early church. A lot of people putting forth their doctrines and saying things that really aren't true. Much like Brother Leroy brought this morning. A lot of people, and I gotta say this, I don't want to offend anybody this morning. You know what's scary about Halloween to me? What's scary to me about Halloween is that a Christian can be scared of Halloween. Amen? Why would you be afraid of Halloween? It's just a silly little thing. It's a holiday. I've heard people talk about, well, it's devil worship. Now listen to me. Now let's get just serious about this thing now. That's a thing that's got started in the last 30 years around the church, that Halloween is devil worship. All I can tell you is this, I've been trick-or-treating all my life. And I ain't never worshiped the devil yet. And I have never seen anybody worship the devil on Halloween, or when they're trick-or-treating, or when they're having fall festival at the church, or any of these other things. What scares me about Halloween is some Christians' fear of Halloween. And some Christians' fear of the devil. Listen to me, like Brother Dennis says sometimes, you ought to be so on fire for the Lord that you can charge hell with 2 5-gallon buckets of gasoline. Amen? Shouldn't worry you one bit. Satan it has no power over you, no control over you, and like I said, I don't want to upset your boat here this morning, but it's just amazing to me how people can turn some little trick-or-treat thing into some kind of a devil worship thing. I just never made the connection there, but if you desire to make that connection for yourself, that's all right. You do whatever you feel like you need to do. But I think the best thing, way I could put it for me is when God chose me, and reached out and saved me. He made me complete. He made me whole. He gave me complete freedom and complete liberty. I don't have to be running around hiding and be scared of the devil anymore. Amen? And when the devil jumps out and yells boo, I'm going to yell boo back at him. In the name of Jesus. Amen? In the name of the Holy Ghost. Bible says here, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men. And that's what I was making the connection there with Halloween with. After rudiments of the world and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Friend, when you became a Christian, you are absolutely complete. Nothing like it. You are complete in Christ Jesus because the great I am, God, has declared himself complete. And if you are in him, then you are complete. You have absolutely everything in the world that you're ever going to need. You'll be lacking in nothing. You have the power, you have the victory, you have the peace, and you have the joy. Now you don't need none of this other junk that's out there in the world. You don't need the alcohol, you don't need the drugs, you don't need the parties, you don't need the philosophy, you don't need the vain traditions, you don't need all the junk. And like I said, You don't have to be afraid of anything because you've been set free. Now, when Jesus Christ died for you, he set you absolutely free. I like, Bobby, those old black spirituals back in the last century, and we need to sing some of those. You know, they sang about, they were in bondage here in this nation. Pitiful, pitiful history in our nation, but They were singing about freedom. Amen.
Amen.
Every time they told them to go to the field and go to work, they pick up the hoe and start singing about freedom and about liberty, and about the freedom that they have in Christ Jesus. Amen. And that's what we need to be talking about today and singing about and shouting about is our liberty and our freedom. We're not under bondage and we're not under anybody's spell and we're not under anybody's yoke. We have been set free. And that's what he's telling the people. That's what God is saying to Moses. Set my people free. I want my people to be free. I don't want them to be serving anybody except me. Remember what he told them in the mountain. He said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. He says, I am the great I am. I am the am. There is nothing more powerful than me. And so you need nothing else. You are complete. You are absolutely complete in me. God also revealed to the people there when he said that I am the great I am. He revealed to them that he was the great supplier. He supplies everything that we need. Romans chapter 5. I'm going to be reading some several scriptures, so just write them down. Don't worry about turning there. I'm going to be reading them to you. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. And he has revealed himself as the supplier for all of our needs. Did you know that we live sometimes poor? Choice you do. Sometimes we do without. Sometimes we don't get everything we want. But did you know that if you're a child of God, he will fulfill all your needs. He will absolutely fulfill all of your needs and everything you need. Now, you might consider some of your needs T-bone steak and shrimp every night. Or you might consider some of your needs as a fine new color television set or a new Cadillac in the garage. That's not needs. Those are luxuries. Those are things that God blesses you with. Those are things that you work hard to get. God has promised us that he's going to give us everything that we need. He's going to give us our food. He's going to give us our shelter. He's going to give us clean water. He's going to give us medical attention, all of our needs and clothing. He's going to meet our needs. Now, we got a lot of wants, and we got a lot of I want this and I want that. But he never promised you to give you everything you wanted. He did promise us. Give you everything that you needed. And so he tells us that today in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. What Paul's saying here. God has done everything for you. Now we could convert that into God has done everything for us. God loves us so much. He gave his own son to be a sacrifice for our sin. You know, God gives his all. When we say he gave his only son, remember the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit makes up the Trinity. He gave part of himself for us. That perfect sacrifice, he gave Jesus in the flesh. Jesus came as a human being, as a man. And he suffered all of the things that we suffer. He experienced all of the things that we experience. He lived just like we live. And he gave his own life. The Bible says God loved us so much that he gave his only son, that whosoever believe in him should never perish, but have everlasting life. He is not only the supplier, he's the giver. He's the life giver. Amen. God also revealed there to Moses when he declared himself to be the great I am. to be holy. He is a holy God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15, he declares, "Be holy as I am holy." Be holy as I am holy. Let's define holiness. Holiness is to be sin-free. Holiness is to be completely pure and completely perfect. There was only one person who ever lived on this earth that was sin-free, completely perfect, and that was Jesus. Or we could say it in this, it was God in the flesh. Jesus was perfect. Jesus never sinned. He was faced with all kind of temptations. If you recall, Satan took him up on a high pinnacle and up on the temple, and he offered him all kinds of things if he would just bow down and worship him. Jesus would not succumb to any of the temptations that Satan gave him. We are faced with temptations from time to time, every day, and God expects us to meet those temptations steadfastly with stoic ability that we can just say no. You know, it's difficult to stay sin-free, because I can attest to that. And I'll tell you now, I'm not going to talk about your sin, but I'll tell you this. There's not one day that goes by that I don't sin in some way or another. That may be that I don't do what I should do. It may be that I'm complacent in my ministry. It may be thoughts that come into my head. It might be anger. It might be a lot of things. But I'm telling you something now. In the flesh, you're going to sin every day of your life. But remember this. There is a state of holiness that you have because of what Christ Jesus has done. Did you know that God doesn't see your sin anymore once you become a Christian? Once you become a Christian, if you confess your sin, you confess your sin to God. The Bible says if you'll confess it, He'll forgive it. And He'll cleanse you. He'll make you clean and pure. And you will be in a state of holiness. Samantha, did you know that you are a holy woman? Yep. Bobby, you know that you are a holy man. You are absolutely holy and pure and clean because of what Christ Jesus did for you. You're going to sin. But if you confess your sin, the Bible says you'll still remain holy. You'll remain clean and pure and magnificent because of what Christ Jesus did for you. You know why? Because when you accepted Christ Jesus, guess who took up residence in your house? Christ Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God the Father. They reside in you. You are holy because they are holy. And the Bible says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And so He has provided a way for us so that when we want to be forgiven of our sin and bought back and become the sons of God, we can do so by inviting Christ Jesus right into our heart. God gives us something else. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1, 3, and 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. God declares Himself to be the comforter. He gives us comfort in trying times. We are His children. Now, I've never been able to, I just don't understand how people that live in the world, people who are not Christians, how they can have any joy or peace or comfort. Now, I see them laughing. I see them laughing. I think the laughter is a cover up for pain that they have. But the Bible says that when we become His sons and His children, that we have complete peace and complete joy. We have comfort. And I just don't understand how people who aren't Christians can have that and how they can be in completeness. Verse 3 and 4 of chapter 1 says this. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. He identifies himself there. The Father of mercies. And the God of all comfort. He is the comforter. When Jesus in John chapter 15 promised the Holy Spirit, he didn't use the name Holy Spirit. He used the word comforter. I'm going to send a comforter to you. And that was capitalized in the New Testament because it's one of the names of God. It's the comforter. Capital C. And we find here that he is the Father of all mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. We are able to comfort others because of what he has done for us and the comfort that he gives for us. Not everybody has that ability or has that. Did you know there's a lot of people that's full of anger? Now listen to me a little bit. We have religions in the world. Let's talk about this a minute. We have other religions in the world. The Christian faith or the Christian religion is followed by the most people in the world. Followed by Islam, then Hinduism, and down the line, and all these other religions that we'll call them. I've always proposed, I believe it, because the Bible says it, that Christianity is the only true religion, only true faith. The Bible says in 1 John that anybody who denies that Jesus is the Son of God is an antichrist. All these other religions deny Jesus as being the Son of God. And the Bible says they are antichrist. Now let me say some things to you about some of these other religions. And I don't have to name them. Have you ever seen, and you look at this as a whole, have you ever seen an angrier people than some of these other major religions we talk about today? Have you ever seen an angrier, madder, more rebellious people than they are? The Bible says back over in Genesis, Abraham's day when Sarah had a baby, the bondwoman had a baby also. His name was Ishmael. And he was the father of the Arab nation. And Sarah's baby was the father of godly nations, Isaac. Bible said right then that Ishmael's offspring, or the people that come out of the loins of Ishmael, will be an angry, angry people. They will fight brother against brother. They don't understand peace. They don't understand comfort. They don't understand joy because they don't have it through Christ Jesus. Let me make another point about this. When we saw what happened in Haiti, last year, city of Port-au-Prince was destroyed and hundreds of thousands of people died and there was sick and injured and hurt people. Did you see how the Christian nations around the world responded? And I'm not going to be able to name all of them, but United States, France, England, Germany, Canada, many Christian nations responded by bringing billions of dollars of aid to Haiti. All kind of workers and all kind of doctors and nurses to help the suffering people there, reaching out in love. Now you just do some thinking. How many nations that follow after any religion other than Christian did you see offer any help to Haiti? Not a one. Not one single dollar. Not one bag of rice. They are wrapped up in themselves. They only feed on themselves and their own anger. They care nothing about anyone else. That says a great deal for their religion or for their godliness. Amen. Not one single nation from the Middle East, as far as I know, gave anything for that or any other major catastrophe in the world, unless it's a Middle Eastern catastrophe. I am talking about some people. Yeah, I'm just telling the truth. I'm not judging and criticizing. I'm just pointing out some truthful facts to you. And the reason I'm doing that is I want you to just consider some of those things. And you think about your God now. The great I am that you have, and the things that God does, and the things that God teaches, and the things that the Bible teaches us to do. To care for one another, to love one another as your own self. To love your neighbor as yourself. These are things that we're mandated to do because of God, because that's the way He is. So the God that we serve and the God that we honor in reference in the Christian faith is the great I Am, the one that explained to Moses, when you go back to the people and they ask you who sent you, tell them the great I Am sent you. The completeness sent you. The fullness sent you. The wholeness, the wellness sent you. Last thing that God revealed there in His explanation of a great I Am is found in found in Romans chapter 5, verse 6. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He was declaring Himself as Savior. As the salvation, as our salvation. God created humanity for one reason. It wasn't for humanity. It wasn't for the benefit of man. God created humanity to bring honor and glory to Him. That's the only reason we're here. The only reason we exist. We were made, the Bible says over in Isaiah, to bring honor and glory to Him. And what honors and glorifies God is the way that we live our lives and how we maintain our lives, how we go about our lives. He loved us so much that even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When Christ died for us, that made us complete. It made us whole. It gave us all the attributes of God that we just talked to about in fulfilling the great I Am. And so God gave His only Son so that we could be complete. He gave us salvation. He gave us everything. Everybody in this room, there's no point in me preaching salvation to you this morning. I can explain it to you. But everybody in this room is a child of God and is saved. I know that because I've either seen you baptized, I've baptized you, or you've given me your testimony about your salvation. It's a great family. I wish every church in America this morning, the pastor could look out on the congregation and say, I know without a shadow of doubt that every one of you in this church is saved. I met one of my second cousins at a funeral this week. I hadn't seen her since she was a teenager. She's a 40-year-old woman now, but she lives in Houston, Texas now, and she was telling me about her church. She goes to Lakewood Baptist Church in Houston. You know who the pastor is there? Joel Osteen. That's her pastor. You know what? Bless her heart, all she could talk about their church was how big it was, how big it was, and how magnificent it was, and how grand it was. And I couldn't help but thinking, I wonder how many people in that church is actually completely committed to Christ Jesus, or how many comes to see the big show every Sunday morning. But I can stand before you now and tell you that I'm complete in confidence. If I had to preach any one of you's funeral this morning or today, I could absolutely stand before the crowd and say, here lies a man or woman that I knew belonged to Christ Jesus. It's a godly person, and they're in heaven today. And that is the promise, that's the comfort, that's the peace that the great I Am gives us. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I love you. We love each other. Don't forget, on the second Saturday of November at 5 o'clock, we're going to have a fellowship time together for the whole church. Write that down in your book. Second Saturday of November, which is coming up at 5 p.m., everybody's going to meet here at the church, and we're going to have a meal. You don't have to bring anything. It's going to be furnished. And we're going to have some fellowship and some good times. And I believe that's when the church needs to come together for fellowship. Amen. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I just come to you right now. I pray, Father, that you will just be with us. I thank you for this time together. God, I pray that you will pour out your peace and comfort and your holiness on your people today. God, help us to understand that you are the great I Am, that you have all the power and all the glory. And Lord, it's us that we have the privilege of serving you. And we know that you will renew us day by day because you promised us to do that. And to renew us every day. And every time that we sin, all we have to do is just whisper a little prayer to you and ask for forgiveness. And God, you will make us clean and whole again. Thank you for letting us be Christian people. Thank you for letting us be your children. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.